Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. About 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers, the Red Sox have made a couple of big signings, I guess, you know, for the Heim Bloom era. Garrett Richards was signed yesterday, which is Saturday, to a one-year $10 million deal that has some kind of an option for 2022. Kike Hernandez also signed in the last few days, you know, probably will slot in either at second base or someplace in the outfield. He has a two-year $14 million deal overall, $7 million per. So we're going to be getting into this. I have a lot of thoughts about the Garrett Richards signing. We're going to start with him. Andrew, you're in favor of it. So go ahead and tell us what you liked about it.
I mean, it's pretty low risk, high reward. Just a one-year guarantee with an option if everything turns out good. Obviously he's probably got the floor of a four, but the upside of an ace, like I was saying last night, the Angels did everything in their power to ruin him early on. He clearly had arm issues that we've kind of gone through the last couple years with Sale. Everything but Tommy John. We'll get you those platelet rich injections. We'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do the other thing, but we're not going to get it fully taken care of. And then nothing, you know, didn't work out for him. And then he finally got Tommy John and he came back in 19, no setbacks, pitched all last year, no setbacks. So he's approaching his first real full season with a new arm, essentially. So he hasn't lost any velocity from pre-surgery. He's still sitting 95 plus with both his four-seamer and his sinker. He's sitting 89 with his slider, which is his out pitch. And he still has a pretty hard curveball that's going to dive right in front of the plate and catch guys off guard. So going to an organization with some more structure with the pitching coach and pitching staff that I think we are all pretty high on with the Red Sox now, who they have employed, you know, dealing with their pitchers on an everyday basis. It's a good signing. Clearly, I mean, based off all reports, there were other teams that wanted him just as much. So I'm happy about it. It's only $10 million, which is nothing. And if it works out and he shows up and gives you right around an ERA of four or less, he's not going to have an ERA of 3-1, but no one is in this division except for Garrett Cole. So I'm stoked about it. I can't wait to watch it. For anyone at home, Google some pitching ninja Garrett Richards highlights, and you're going to be amped on him. The stuff is filthy, and he's finally healthy.
Charlie, your thoughts?
So I was doing a little research on Garrett Richards. You're basically getting like a glorified reliever. The past five seasons, Garrett Richards has a record of 8-12. Just half the number of wins he had in 2015, his last healthy season, his first major injury. I mean, he's a career injury player. Like, he gets injured every year for one reason or another. His first real injury actually happened at Fenway Park. What I'm actually nervous about, and this is what I was kind of curious about, because they said he's got a nasty slide. He's got a nasty fastball, like mid 90s, can top out at 99. That's all set. When everything's said and done, that's great. The problem is he throws a pitch that can do a lot of devastating damage to your arm. So when I was looking back at it, he became a more successful pitcher in 2020 because he threw his fastball 46.3% of the time. He threw his slider 37.8% of the time. 84.1% of the time, you're seeing a fastball or a slider from Garrett Richards. The one pro about him is that he does very, very well against right-handed hitting. Doesn't do that well against lefties. I'm okay with that because you have what feels like infinity out in right field. Right-handed hitters in 2020 were hitting 189 against them. Left-handed hitters were hitting 296. Big difference, hitting 300 and 190. What I'm still kind of struggling with is you gave Garrett Richards $10 million. Knowing full well, there's probably going to be at least one stint on the DL. This is a guy who opted not to have surgery to try to just do it organically, for lack of a better term, as far as like healing. And I respect that because surgery sometimes can make you and it can break you. For certain pitchers like Walker Buehler, he ended up having surgery and ended up throwing faster and throwing harder. But it doesn't always work out that way. Can Garrett Richards turn out to be like a gem? Sure. As Andrew was saying, like, could, if he throws out a 4 ERA like last year in, you know, limited sample size, 10 games started, 14 total games. Home run ball wasn't too much of an issue. Averages almost a strikeout an inning, which I'll take. But it's in the National League. It doesn't translate to the American League. And outside of his really, really good year in 2015, he's really only had one good season because of injuries and whatnot. So the Red Sox paid $10 million to get a guy who could potentially get injured. They were unwilling to pay a couple more million to get somebody who was a two-time Cy Young winner.
How do we know and that he's going to sign here, though? Why wouldn't you? Kluber wasn't. He was going with his trainer.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
He clearly did. He's been training with the Yankees trainer every single day during his rehab.
Corey Kluber literally lives 20 minutes away from where he we also are in literally Boston.
Lives with his trainer.
I'm just saying why it wasn't completely far-fetched to assume that he could have been in Boston. If the Red Sox had offered him 113, 114, or 225 or something like that with a team friendly or potential, who knows what deal with incentives, I think there's a chance he would have come to Boston. I really do. And I think it's silly that you pay $10 million for someone who's probably only going to last half the season. Because, Garrett Richards, hold on. Garrett Richards has not thrown more than 76 innings in 5 seasons. He has combined in the last 5 seasons. I know you can shake your head all you want. He has not thrown 200 innings in 5 seasons.
He hasn't missed a start since he got his surgery. And Kluber is coming off one inning pitched in, 2 years?
What's the age difference between the two?
$25 million?
I would be willing to take him
and Evaldi driving him to the ballpark, like to rehab.
Who'd you rather see pitch, Corey Kluber or Garrett Richards?
I would take Richards because I know he's going to pitch, and he's not in his last.
Did Kluber retire?
Has he shown he's healthy?
Has Garrett Richards shown he's healthy?
He hasn't come back from his surgeries yet.
So, Garrett Richards for $10 million, good signing.
Yep. Yeah.
Corey Kluber, 1 year, $11 million. Good signing.
But I'm not giving him 2 years at $25 million.
So was Corey Kluber 1 year, $11 million? Was that a good signing?
Yes. That's a good risk for the Yankees.
That's a steal. $1 million more for Corey Kluber. That's a steal.
Let me add some stuff here. Okay. Now,
you can't hold a gun to his head and make him sign here, though.
In Andrew's defense, yeah, okay. You know, he had a lot of connections to New York. In Charlie's defense, we don't know shit about what the Red Sox offered or if they were even in on him. So
we don't know. They never disclosed. Right. It was just there were other teams that were involved. Andrew, right? There were other teams that were disclosed as being involved and in the running for Corey Kluber, correct?
Yeah. So do you want them to blow that Yankees offer out of the water?
We don't know what it would have taken, though, is the thing.
We don't. That's true.
Here's another thing. What's wrong with a guy named Taijuan Walker who had a 2.70 ERA last year? Younger?
I mean, if you want to go, he's going to be more expensive. And if you want to go, he's even more inconsistent than anyone else that's on the market. Was his first good year.
But also 1 year off of Tommy John. Their Tommy John schedules were basically identical. So much lower risk, you know, in my opinion. Another guy signed a 2 year deal with the Royals, Mike Minor, 2 years, $18 million. I would much rather would have went that route, you know. And then, you know, I know we're not a big Lester podcast outside of me, but you know, he's gonna pitch more innings than both of those guys this year. So,
I don't think Lester wanted to come back to the owner. There's no evidence that Lester likes Boston.
Wait, he did. He was quoted.
He wanted to go back to Chicago.
He was quoted last year saying he would retire in Boston. You know, for what it's worth, you know, there is
a quote. I still think it will. Taiwan Walker, 18 and 19, pitched 4 total games, and in 2019, 1 game, 1 inning, 1 strikeout. Can you even call it a game? Like, he made the 4 starts, but I mean, you don't know what you're. I mean, could you say, yeah, sure? Is it worth it? Sure. We have no idea what we're getting. Are we getting the 2017 version of Taiwan Walker? Are we getting the 2019 version? Like, you have no idea. And that's the thing with all three of these guys, with Richards, with Taiwan Walker, with Corey Kluber. No one can possibly say what any one of them are going to do. Me personally, I've been super high on Corey Kluber. I have been for months. I wanted him to come to Boston. I really did. I didn't think that Gary Richards had a chance of coming. There's people still whispering that Odorizzi was coming to Boston for 3 years and $39 million or something crazy like that.
That would be $3 million a year more than Richards. A lot more.
Yeah, a lot of long-term money.
It still fits the rebuild. The timing.
I know.
This team isn't in a window right now. They're not selling out to win a championship right now.
No, they're not going to go anywhere. But you might as well at least make it look like you're trying.
They are trying.
Wow. You signed Garrett Richards.
Okay, so you regress to the mean. Let's just do this right freaking now. All right, so They're going to regress to the means at second. They're going to get any production, which is better than last year. They're going to regress to the means at third, which is an improvement, right? Left field can't be any worse than it was last year, right?
Okay.
So you're going to get Erod back. You'll get Sale back mid-year capacity, which is better than nothing of last year.
Erod's coming back?
What's that?
You think that Erod's coming back?
Erod,
think he's going to pitch 200 innings?
I don't think anyone in the league is going to pitch 200 innings this year.
I don't think Erod makes 150 innings this year.
They probably don't want him to pitch 150.
Of course not. Of course not. Okay. So he's coming back.
So you're going to say,
we need him to.
He's back. Is he not?
He's back. You can't risk someone who just had myocarditis.
They had to hold him off the field last year because he wanted to come.
Yeah, but he was protecting himself.
We've seen his workout videos. He's sitting in the high 90s.
So you think that he's going to come back better than he's ever been?
No. He had a Cy Young caliber year a couple years ago. He's going to be an above-average starter. They're not.
I agree.
I think Erod's going to be.
Then he's going to be back.
I think Erod's going to be healthy, but from a performance standpoint, what are we getting? That's a huge uncertainty right now with all
you're
the
gonna
rest.
You're going to get anything better than what it was last year.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. So let's just do so you think they're going to win less than 70 games?
I think they could win 70 games. I think they could do maybe 70.
Who's going to finish ahead of them? Because unless you have like 6 teams winning 118 games this year and breaking like the Mariners' record.
Do you in the division or in the league?
In the AL.
In the AL. Okay. So let's talk about the division alone.
Do you think
the Yankees are better?
I think their offense is great. They still have a lot of question marks in pitching.
They do,
their pitching staff is better than ours. Their bullpen is better than ours.
Yeah,
their
bullpen.
We don't have one.
I think the Yankees are going to win 96 games plus. Okay. That's a given. I'm not worried about them.
I agree. Okay. Let's talk about Toronto. How do you think they're going to do?
Who's pitching for Toronto?
I'm just asking. Do you think that they're better than Boston?
Honestly, if they don't improve their pitching, I think that their offense is going to have to carry them a lot, and we'll see if it happens.
I think Toronto wins 80 games minimum. That's more than I think Boston's going to win. So that's two. That's two teams. That's two. Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Where's Baltimore?
Worst.
Okay. All right. So we agree there. There we go. Hey, 3 for 3 so far. Where do you think Tampa Bay is going to go?
Let's see. They lost Morton and they lost Snell. I'm going to put them a little bit worse. they no incentive to win this year.
They have no incentive to win, but it's Tampa Bay. They could potentially bottom out. They could go 60-100. I don't think it's going to happen because it's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay always seems to find garbage and turn garbage into gold. It's Tampa
Bay. They haven't turned anyone this offseason. So all they've done is taken away players from their squad. So then you have other teams. Let's just look at the playoff teams.
Sure.
So you have Chicago, better. So there's one spot.
Oh my God. Yes.
Let's give Toronto a
spot. Sure.
So there's three. You have Houston. That remains to be seen. Do we know Verlander? We know nothing about him. Do we know about Springer? He's gone. So there's
Springer's in Toronto.
Yep, exactly. There's a giant step back. That kills them. That's huge. Cleveland, that was a
– they bled that team.
They're done. They've traded everyone that's good. Minnesota, they're worse. They lost Nelson Cruz. They lost Trevor May, Tyler Clippard, Rich Hill, Jake Odorizzi, and Marwin Gonzalez. That's a lot of
– If Odorizzi doesn't go back.
He's not going
back. He could go back. You don't know that. We don't know. If he goes back,
Odorizzi might go to Toronto.
He could go to Toronto. That was rumored too.
Replace their best bat. So then we got Oakland. They're going to regress. They lost Soria. They lost Hendricks, who was top guy in the market. Marcus Semien seems to be
way overpaid too. He got way overpaid. I mean, anyways,
Ella is probably gone too. We saw he died earlier this offseason.
yeah, I was just thinking of that.
So. There are your playoff teams. You have three teams that have taken a step back, and the Red Sox are going to regress, which is great because there's going to be positive regression. So they literally are going to compete. No, it's just a fact.
I didn't get a chance to get into Richards, and then we'll, I have a lot of thoughts as far as the year goes as well. If this was 2017, 2018, 2019, and we give Garrett Richards a 10-year contract with the staffs we had, I'm like, okay, fine. You know, whatever. You know, we've got a solid rotation that he's being added to. But what he's being added to in 2021 is a guy named Nathan Eovaldi, who in the last 5 years hasn't pitched more than 124 innings, and that was 5 years ago. He's had four elbow surgeries in his career, two within that window, one of those two surgeries with the Red Sox in 2019. Martin Perez, healthy for the most part, but not consistent, not going to carry the rotation. Nick Pivetta, a walking enigma with a career ERA well over five. So there's three guys. You got Erod coming back, but what are we getting? Is he going to be a rusty 100 pitches by the fifth inning? I don't know. This, and then we're going to put Garrett Richards in with that. This is a rotation that has needed stability. That's what the next arm into the rotation needed to be. That's not what we got. If you look at Garrett Richards' game logs for the 2020 season, first game out, he pitches his best game of the year, and I think that was opening day. 5 2/3, zero earned runs, six strikeouts, struck out six in his next game, gave up four runs. What happens after that is the strikeout rate, he only starts maybe three or four more games, strikeout rate starts to drop, he gets put in the bullpen, nobody knows why he's being put in the bullpen. I did the best I could to look back at the tweets from their press corps. Jace Tingler just said, well, we think he could be a better weapon, out of the bullpen as we're getting into the playoffs. But the thing that doesn't make sense about that is Clevinger, and this was in September by the time this happens, Clevinger out for the year, LeMay, however he says it, out for the year. Chris Paddock should have went to the bullpen if anybody needed to go to the bullpen, but they sent Garrett Richards to the bullpen. And the consensus was for some reason, he had a short leash. I don't know why. They don't know why. It didn't make a ton of sense, but so he goes to the bullpen. He didn't pitch bad. It backfired in the playoffs because he got tuned up a little bit for two runs in one of his two appearances. But so this is a guy that they didn't seem to trust for whatever reason in the rotation. And that was only 2 months. So we're going to ask for 6 months in the regular season, seven if we're on crack. I don't think we're making the postseason. I think we're a 76 to 79 win team. I would love to be wrong. Give me all the shit in the world if I am wrong. I'll sit there and take it. I got no problem with that. I hold myself accountable as much as I hold everybody else accountable. but it just doesn't make sense. This is a shit rotation, and we're probably going to be below 500 by the time Chris Sale comes back. And, you know, that sucks. I just gave you some other free agents that give you a little bit more stability. You know, I would have went with Taiwan Walker. I would have went with Mike Minor. It just sucks. There are better options out there. You know, Jake Odorizzi would have been perfect for this rotation. And so what if he's given a 3-year deal? I'll take a $12 to $14 million a year pitcher on that salary. That doesn't bother me. Who says Erod's coming back next year? This is his walk year. So, you know, I'm totally good with having a guy like Odorizzi up here. And I think putting him in the rotation makes it extremely stable. And maybe you flirt a little bit more, you know, with maybe the 7th or 8th seed, however the playoffs are going to be constructed. But Garrett Richards does nothing for me, does absolutely nothing. And he's going to be 33. And I just, I'm frustrated. I haven't been this mad since probably the David Price Fortnite thing, because, you know, we're coming off back-to-back playoff losses, 2016-17, just getting utterly demolished in the month of October. And then you get into the spring of 2018, and because of Price, we're still a clown show. And, I was frustrated. And, you know, the Sale signing, you know, a couple winters ago frustrated me too. But this is not a team that's gonna do much this year. I really don't think it is. And I get, Andrew, you're going through some teams that are going to take a step back. I think Detroit's going to take a step forward. I'm not going to rule the Indians out because they still have Bieber. They still have that Plesac kid and at least one other pitcher. And you know, the White Sox should be good. I'm not going to rule out the Twins, you know, so that's conceivably three teams in the Central. The West is so bad, I'm not even going to rule out Oakland. You know, who's good in that division right now? It's definitely not going to be Seattle yet, I don't think.
Yep.
It's not going to be Texas. So,
other fans are sitting here saying the same thing. At least the Red Sox have made some signings, and they're going to have an offense that can carry them to some wins. I don't think we can disagree with that.
This right, offense, some wins. Some wins, top sure. Five,
I mean, how Toronto's pitching staff is might not be better than the Red Sox.
You have right, but their offense is far. Their offense has the potential to be lethal.
Has potential. So you're giving other teams potential, but with the Red Sox, it's like black or white. There's no potential.
So why I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that
the Blue Jays the benefit of the doubt. We don't know if maybe there's a 3-week break in the season and then Vlad Guerrero gets back out of shape. We don't know if Springer hurts his toe and misses 3 months like he always does. We don't
have
know
you
if
seen Vladimir Guerrero. Have you seen his? Have you seen him?
Yeah, he was in great shape before last season, and then when they came back,
not like this.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, look at last offseason too. He was actually really good.
Yeah. I was.
But anyways, so you look at the Blue Jays pitching. You have Hunjin Ryu, question mark. Robbie Ray, super question mark. Nate Pearson. Could blow out his arm at any second here, throwing 103-mile-an-hour fastball. And you have Tanner Roark and Ross Stripling. That's a hot load of garbage right there. The Rays, Tyler Glasnow, is he going to hit the backstop or is he going to hit the catcher's glove? We don't know. Ryan Yarbrough, we don't know. Michael Walker, are you kidding me? He's trash. They have no one in their rotation. The Yankees, Gerrit Cole, probably best pitcher in the league. And then question marks. And then obviously the Red Sox. And then you have whatever Baltimore's rolling out, we're not going to call it a pitching staff. So the Red Sox are going to win a lot of games just on their offensive alone within that division. It just is what it is.
So last year when the Red Sox were facing Baltimore, and I was talking about this with Al, he said, Charlie, let me break this down for you. I want you to listen. I said, okay, I'll listen. You'll be wrong, and I'll be right. The Red Sox are going to be facing Toronto. Garbage. Baltimore. Garbage. Tampa Bay. Might be a wash. Yankees are going to kill Boston. Baltimore destroyed Boston last year with that garbage team that you were talking about. They destroyed Boston.
I know, but the Red Sox pitching is 10 times what it was last year, even with all these question marks. It literally is addition by subtraction with just getting all those players. Half of them have been DFA'd because they were so bad. None of these guys are going to be DFA'd.
No, they'll be on the disabled list. Excuse me, injury list. Can't say disabled list anymore. You're going to have to deal with someone who may or may not come back, because I wouldn't fault Eduardo Rodriguez if he says, you know what? I don't know. This is still dangerous. I don't feel good about it. And I may opt out, or I'm not sure how it's going to. Hold, hear me out. Hear me out. Okay. Garrett Richards, question mark. His arm could also give out at any moment, because 83%.
He has not missed a start since he got his Tommy John surgery. He hasn't hit the DL since.
Right. He's only pitched 76 innings, 53 innings, 6 innings.
Back in near the end of 19 was okay, and then he started ramping it up last year. And now he's full go.
We'll see. I mean, you know what? The worst that could possibly happen is what I think is going to happen. I'll be pleasantly surprised, and I'll be the first one to say, you know what? I was wrong. And last year, I was right.
No wiggle room for it to be any improvement. You guys aren't even open to listening to being some of these guys hitting.
I just said it. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I'll be the first one to admit it. Dude, if I'm wrong, I said I'd buy you dinner. I said that already. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to admit it.
If Evaldi goes on the DL in May. I'm not politically correct, but Evaldi goes on the DL in May. Erod just doesn't have it. Then what? Where are we?
I mean, Sale's recovering. He's not coming back.
Yeah, can step up. They're super high on Connor Siebold. They're high on Houck. So there's two guys. Who knows where Mata is? He could be a pleasant surprise that can come up.
Well, there was a lot of pessimism on those guys over the winter on when they would be up, and I think most of us agreed that Mata wouldn't be up this year.
But I don't think he's going to be up to start, but I think 3 months in, you might see him.
One way or the other.
Is going to come up this year?
Oh, I absolutely think Siebold's going to see some innings this year.
It's a terrible position to put yourself in, to have to fall back on those guys. You know, I mean, we still got $14 million to spend. We're not going to spend it. I mean, we'll get a scrap heap guy, you know, Rich Hill, like, you know, maybe a
Trevor. I don't know the Heim Bloom podcast he did with Sox prospects, but he's not expecting guys to be throwing 200 innings this year. They've never seen this before, where you have guys throwing. Lance Lynn threw the most innings last year with 84. This is unprecedented. You're going to need guys that can spot start. You can't rush all these arms back. It's just not feasible. So with the depth that they've built, they have about three different guys coming out of the bullpen that can give you 4 or 5 innings if we have COVID-related doubleheaders. And, you know, they're going to have an advantage in that too. You can roll out Andrews, even though you guys just laugh at that. Obviously, he's not the be-all and end-all, but he's going to be a guy that can eat some innings. Garrett Whitlock is going to be a guy that hopefully can eat some innings. You have people like that, Tanner Houck. And I don't know. I just have a little more optimism. I mean, any is more.
I mean, I could see that, dude. I mean, but last year I felt like I was one of the first ones to be on the Nene train, where I saw like the fire.
I can't even get over to get rocked for rocker before the season started.
I thought, you know, that was the thing, was it looked like the Red Sox were gonna get the 1-2 pick, and Rocker was he was projected to go number one before, you know, midway through last season, even towards the end of it. Now I don't even think he's number one anymore.
He had that game against Duke, which was unbelievable. So I don't know. I just think that they have a plan. No one likes it because it's not sign all these guys that have won Cy Youngs and won MVPs. But that's just it's not the season for it. Don't want to lock into shit contracts. It's what it is. They don't want to risk more long-term money on the book.
So I have a question for you then. A reliever, if a reliever has two really good pitchers, pitches. If a reliever has two really good pitches and could dominate with those two, feasible, right? Two pitches. I feel like that was Jonathan Papelbon. He had fastball and faster ball. Like that was really all he threw. He never trusted anything else. He just blow everything by everyone. Do you think that a starting pitcher can rely on just two pitches 83% of the time?
Are you talking about Richards?
Yeah.
I mean, you have
statistics based on last year. I'm just asking. I'm asking because
he was using those pitches in what situations? Because when it was a two-strike count, he was going to that pitch. He was going to the slider because since 2018, batters have hit 153 off his slider. So he's going to throw it. They've swung and missed 42% of the times on it. So he's going to go to that as his out pitch. So if he's gotten guys in two-strike counts, he's going to that pitch more often than others. So, yeah, he absolutely should.
And what was the batting average against Garrett Richards against his curveball?
I honestly don't have it in front of me, but I could look it up in a second.
I don't know, but I'm guessing it probably wasn't good, which is why it was thrown less than 10% of the time.
Like, I mean, look at it, throws 25-25-25. It's just that's right.
You throw 100 pitches and 83 of them are going to be strikeouts and sliders. They're going to be sitting sliders, sitting fastball. And you know, you can hit 99, you can hit 98, you can hit 95. He's not going to be throwing 99 at 80 pitches into the game. He probably won't even pitch 80 pitches into the game. I'm curious to know what the Red Sox pitching regimen is going to be for some of these starting pitchers, because last year, what was the most number of pitches that a starter threw? It was probably Martin Perez, I'm guessing. Probably in the 80s, maybe 90s. I don't think we're going to see that out of Richards. He's not going to be throwing 99 at the 80th pitch. He's going to be throwing 92, 93. And if you're throwing 83% of your pitches, fastballs and sliders, in the fifth inning, they're going to be sitting at 92, 93. And believe me, that thing will fly.
But they don't want guys throwing 110 pitches anymore. It's just the game has gone away from that.
Agreed. But the problem is, if you average 20, but if you average 20 pitches an inning or 16 pitches an inning, you're done before the fifth inning.
They want guys to go about five innings nowadays.
I mean, Red Sox want starters to go three. If you're lucky, you get three.
I mean, come on. But that's why they have a Darwin's and Hernandez who can throw two innings. They have a Whitlock that can throw four. They got an Andreessen that can throw three. They have a Phillips Valdez that we can see go two and third.
I like him. I actually do like him. I was
these guys that can give you. They're just asking, give us five innings, and that's it. And then they'll work from there. They don't. But
a starter only going five innings is unacceptable.
I don't think they're going to necessarily just be going five innings. You know, we're gonna have spot starters anyway here and there.
Right.
But you're going to see Perez and Eovaldi going six, seven, you know, if they're really cruising, you know, in the bullpen stacks.
I agree.
They're going to go eight innings sometimes. But it's still health is one thing. That's what I've been hammering away on is just health this whole time. It's not like Eovaldi doesn't get knocked around because all he does is pound the zone anyway. Perez has the propensity to get knocked around and ask Philly fans about Pivetta. So there's performance issues as well on top of health issues. There's just red flags everywhere with this rotation. Now let's go outside of the rotation real quick. Let's talk first base. Bobby Dalbec wasn't fooling pitchers at the minor league level. They were fooling him. They were striking him out with ease. It's not going to be any different in the major leagues, especially when, you know, June rolls around and everybody's gotten enough looks at him. And then, so when that fails, guess what? Michael Chavis, who's going to strike out at every two-strike high fastball thrown at him. That's your depth at first base, and it sucks. I'm going to boldly assume we haven't got to him yet. I'm going to boldly assume that Hernandez plays more time in the outfield because you've got, I'm somewhat of a Christian Arroyo guy. If I'm going to be optimistic about anything, I think he's going to be productive and he's going to hold down that position. And if he doesn't, then Munoz will come in and, you know, serve some time there in the outfield. Before Hernandez got here, all you had was Verdugo. Okay. Renfroe is trash. That's a Tampa Bay signing. And quite frankly, you could have had Kevin Pillar for probably a million more. You could have had David Dahl for a million less. So I mean, that was just a terrible signing. And Yasiel Puig,
I don't think they were ready to give Dahl. I don't think they were ready to promise him playing time. And Texas promised him playing time.
Well, he's going to have a much better year. All these guys I just mentioned. If
you're worried about the Red Sox pitching health, David Dahl is he's liable to get hit by a car every time he crosses the damn street. Like, I mean, I'm here in Denver. People loved him, but I swear to God, a stiff wind knocked him on the IL for like 3 months, twice a season.
Hunter Renfro is so bad, what difference does it make? I mean,
how do we know that?
Because he's had a negative defensive war in 4 out of his 5 pro seasons. And
he
doesn't get on base him. Either.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
He hits home runs. He's boomer bust. He's Gary Sanchez.
With Chavis, I don't think Chavis is in Boston.
No,
I think he's going to be in.
He's.
I think he's going to be in the minors. He has 2 options.
He does, but I'm just saying we've got holes at first, and you know we
got to give Kubiak a chance here. I mean, you got to give him a shot.
But we've got nothing to fall back on. Is my problem? We don't have a Mitch Moreland to just put in there.
I think he's going to sign Mitch Moreland, and it's going to only take like $1 million. I mean, they've done it each of the last 3 years.
Yeah, well,
he could come back. I'd be okay with it.
But in Dahlbeck's defense, he did hit .263 with a .360 OBP last year, which is pretty solid.
Right. But wait a minute. That was in limited time. No one had ever seen him before. Do you remember what Michael Chavis did when he hit the league? He just destroyed everything, and then they figured him out.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if we see the same thing with Dahlbeck.
He's going to have his role, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely will. I'm just
saying, of course.
He earned a chance. He's earning. I mean, the minor league system is so thin, you have to give some of these guys
a chance. Agree.
And if you think, you know, maybe he gets off to a great start and the front office thinks it's school's goal, they can probably still move him.
Possibly, yes, maybe. That is fool's gold, and I think 29 other teams outside of Boston probably know that. And they're like, no, I don't think so. I'm not going to touch the stove when it's red. No.
Didn't make another top 100 prospect list this year. So he's not trash.
Hold on. Sorry. It was out. What did you say before? Not trash. I heard that.
I said Dahlbeck did make the top 100 league-wide prospects again this year. So the abilities are there.
Oh, I'm not denying it. I'm not denying that. I'd be okay seeing him this year. It would suck to see Chavis go down, but I completely understand why they would send him down. Like you mentioned, he has options. I thought it was 1 option left. He has 2?
He's not 2. And he hasn't even had 150 total bats in AAA yet. So, honestly, like, some time down there might do him some good, see if he gets his career back on track.
Yeah, maybe it works. We'll see.
There's a whole lot
of we'll sees.
We'll get to Hernandez now, I guess. I'll lead off because I don't know if I'll get a chance if you guys go at it. It's hard to hate the signing, but at the same time, you know, he's a 7 or 8 hole guy on a team full of 7 or 8 hole guys. I like the versatility. I don't really question that he's, you know, not going to play. You know, he could play 140, 150 games or more than that if they ask him to. And so, you know, with Verdugo, you know, you do have a little bit of stability, but, you know, I would have liked it better, you know, if he was being signed to a team that was better balanced than the one we have now. So I'm not gonna kill the Red Sox for that, but, you know, I was hoping for Puig, who I think would be more of a difference maker. For crying out loud, I would put Nick Markakis in left field to have him in the lineup, you know, who can hit for power. And I know he's a lefty, so maybe it doesn't make a ton of sense, but I don't know. So I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
I mean, in Marquez's best year, he only has hit two more home runs than Hernandez has in his best year. So I wouldn't go there with the power.
Well, that's fine. I mean, he's been a productive player.
The way they're looking at Hernandez, there's so many questions with COVID. You don't know if your second baseman is going to miss 10 games. You don't know if your left fielder is going to miss 10 games. And with Hernandez being able to play eight positions, he really allows you to not have to play like the call-up carousel with Pawtucket.
Worcester now, they're talking about that on the news. I do like the fact that he's like a Swiss Army knife. He's like Brock Holt 2.0, and the difference is Brock Holt is going to not hit 200, and he's not going to hit more than five home runs. Kiki Hernandez had 21 homers in 2018, 17 home runs during the kind of goofy ball era, and last year still had five. But where I also find like an increased value in someone who not only plays multiple positions is how he can handle himself in the playoffs. And when the playoffs came about, this is why I wasn't like too poo-poo on him, was during the playoffs in 2020, he destroyed Atlanta. It wasn't so much to be seen in the World Series against Tampa Bay, but he had clutch hits in this postseason, in last year's postseason. He's someone that is going to – when he left L.A., that hindered the team. Because when I thought of Kike Hernandez, there was only one other player I think that played as, you know, even remotely close to as many positions. That was Chris Taylor. And Chris Taylor, I believe, played second, short, third, and all three outfield positions. And we just got one of their guys. So 2 years, $14 million for a Swiss Army knife player who, if you asked him to catch, he'd probably say, yeah, sure, coach. I'm okay with that. I'm not gonna be too upset about it. He won the World Series ring last year in LA. Red Sox are going to win a World Series this year, but you know, this is someone who's going to be able to offer a little bit of leadership to some of the younger guys. And who knows, like who knows what happens if one of your outfielders does go down, like we were talking about it outside of, Verdugo, you got Renfro. We still don't know what's going to happen. Bradley, I don't think is coming back. There's been a lot of rumors about San Francisco getting him. So maybe he ends up being one of your everyday players. He started off last season, I think, didn't he hit like a grand slam in his first game last year? I got to look that up, but I remember he started off the season on absolute fire. 4 for 5 with a home run and 5 RBIs against the Giants. So he was hitting 500 after the first series, kind of cooled off a little bit and whatnot, but he still has the capability of doing it. So I'm okay with it. You know, I'm much happier with the Hernandez signing than I was with the Richard signing, because this guy serves so many purposes. You can't hate it.
Yeah, and he's played first too. So if you do have your question marks there, and people, the fans are going to love him. And more importantly, the clubhouse is going to love him. He's going to keep everyone light. I mean, the dude was wearing a freaking banana suit in the dugout. And like, if you go on the Dodgers subreddit, fans were just heartbroken he's gone. And anytime you can bring in one of those guys, it's great, especially when he's good too. It's like, you get those guys that the fans love, but he sucks. But this guy literally is a legitimate weapon at multi-positions.
I, like I said, he's going to add stability throughout the field by being able to play those positions. I just don't know that the box score is going to be any different, you know, than what it would have been.
At least you're going to get a healthy player in there, though. I mean, that's the other thing, too. How many injuries has Kiki Hernandez had in his career? I honestly don't know. And for somebody like that, I'd be willing to take a chance on it again, because you don't have to worry about someone getting injured. So I think he became a starter in 2016 because he didn't start in LA. He got a start in, was it Houston or Miami?
He was in Houston, then went to Miami. Houston.
All right. So that was that. And then wasn't doing great in either spot, but his first year in 2015, he started getting opportunities, made the most of it. 2016 regressed a little bit. And then started getting major playing time starting in 2017. The days that he didn't play, I don't think it was because of injuries. I think it was just because of off days. That's it. And last year he played 48 out of 60 games. 80% of the games. I'm okay with that. He's probably going to play more than that in Boston. That to me tells me that he's got he's healthy. So I'm okay. 14 million for what? Probably 300 games of baseball.
Not bad.
That's not bad at all.
No, I mean that's great, and especially just the intangibles alone, and just from watching the NBA right now. You're having these guys that inconclusive test, he's out tonight. And it's like, all right, well, shit, here you go. You know, like a schedule, you know, Bogarts hurts his heel and he might be missing a game, but Arroyo's also out that game because of testing. There's Hernandez.
I think Kiki Hernandez is going to be the guy that ends up playing three positions in a game, like multiple times this season. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, he starts off at second, then plays left field, then finishes up at first. Okay, cool. You know, Yeah, exactly. No, that's just going to be another thing that, okay, name another player in Major League Baseball that can do that. I'll wait.
Yeah, it's like Zhu-Wei Lin, but actually good.
Yeah, and I like Zhu-Wei Lin. I'm, you know, it was tough to see him go, but this kid is better, and I think he can do more than Zhu-Wei Lin. Zhu-Wei Lin, I don't believe, played first base. And Kiki Hernandez is not that tall. He's like maybe 6 feet, if that. I remember him. He's not that big. Mitch Moreland is a bigger guy. I'm curious to see if they'd even consider him at first base, because honestly, it makes the most sense to put him at second, given his size. Maybe you stick him at short to give Xander a day off, and you put him at third because he can play deep third. You give Devers the day off. You're not going to have someone like Kiki Hernandez be the DH. That's just dumb. That's just stupid.
No, we get 3 years for that.
Yeah, that's I'd be wondering what Alex Cora is doing. Like, he must have accidentally had dyslexia and miswritten the positions. But yeah, I think that's something that Andrew and I agree on. Like, this is someone that was a plus. Like, at first I was kind of like, oh man. And then I had to think about it. I was like, wait a minute, he does play all positions. He's not going to be injured. He might hit a home run here or there. You know what? If I see, I would rather take Kiki Hernandez over somebody like Mark Bellhorn, you know? So, and that was the player that everyone was like, wait, what? You got Mark Bellhorn? Like years and years ago. I'm okay with this. Or Todd Walker, like that was the player we'd get. Like, second base was a caveat. We never really had one, and then we got Dustin Pedroia, and that was cute for a couple years. But now we have someone who can do second base. Oh, we need you to play left. Got it. Okay, we need you to play right. Okay, cool. We need you to play short. Okay, cool. Done.
I guarantee you, he's gonna play. If he plays 140 games, 100 of them will be in the outfield. I feel
it might be. Yeah. Might be, but it wouldn't surprise me if they can't figure out what to do at second base. He's going to play everything.
Well,
he's going to give people days off in other positions too.
He could play first, fresh, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So, I mean, we know where we stand now. I think we can all agree that there's no more significant signings coming, you know. Just another depth piece, maybe, for, you know, the bullpen or whatever. The Yankees today traded for Jameson Taillon, I guess is how he pronounces it. You know, coming off of an okay year with Pittsburgh, I was noticing his strikeout per nine was above 12, so that's kind of surprising, I guess. Ben Sherrington probably, you know, replaced everyone. I know they hired a new manager. I don't know who their pitching coach is. So, you know, I think he's, you know, a middle of the rotation guy for New York. He's probably, you know, going to be more solid than the, you know, the Domingo Germans and the Jonathan Loaizagas, you know. But he doesn't strike out a lot of guys over his career, so if he reverts back to his old numbers, New York might not be the place for him.
Well, that's the thing is, like, we saw, if you look at what he did in 2018, looking back at his numbers, 14-10 in Pittsburgh, not a great team. Was able to keep his ERA to 3.2, couple complete games, including a shutout, 191 innings, 179 strikeouts, just 20 home runs allowed. That is not going to be necessarily the same number that we see in New York. I think that number is going to go up. I think the strikeout numbers could potentially go up, potentially go down. We'll see. I think his ERA is going to be closer to 4. I think he wins a minimum of, you know, 12 games. Assuming we play 162, will we see 2019 version? Even 2019 version, he was still good. We're trying to figure out like what the package was. And it's saying right here that they got Miguel Yajuri, who's the 15th ranked prospect. Ronzi Contreras, who's number 19, Kanan Smith, number 21, and then Michael Escoto. Was that the number 9, Andrew, that you were talking about, or number 8?
Yeah, well, there's the pipeline in baseball America rank a right. little bit differently. So that's why the whoever maybe the 9th or 8th guy was. I know someone had him ranked, one of the guys ranked 8th, and one of them had him definitely lower.
They still got some good prospects on it. So
we'll see. It's a huge question mark for New York. We haven't seen this guy throw a pitch yet coming back from Tommy John. So who knows what it's going to be for him. That's their rotation. It's pretty much just as pretty much par for the course for the AL East, just question marks throughout.
Anything else? I thought I had one other thing. I should have wrote it down. But anything else going on throughout the league that
we saw Brad Hand get a nice contract.
Oh yeah, with the Nationals.
10.5 is even higher than what is it would have taken to claim him, which is pretty interesting for a guy who lost 3 miles off his fastball over the last 2 years. So
wasn't it $10 million to claim off of waivers?
Yeah, that was declined. So yeah, they ended up paying. He ended up getting $500,000 more. So. Whenever you can make more when you get released from your job, you know life is good.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think he's going to be able to replicate 2020 again, but in New York, I mean, Mets again. What's up?
He's in D.C.
Oh, was in D.C.? I'm sorry. I thought he was with the Mets.
Yeah, he's with the Nationals.
No.
Oh, my apologies. Okay, I thought it was with the Mets. My bad. Still good. I mean, it's the Nationals.
Yeah, the Mets right on them, but they didn't want to go that high. Passing said, or Martino said, Martino was like the Mets wanted him, but they had concerns about paying him for that much with the diminished velocity.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're just short of an hour, but I guess we can wrap on that. Unfortunately, I think it's going to get pretty quiet, as they start to report, because I think we're done. But, as developments happen around the league, we'll come on. Bauer's still out there. Real Muto still out there as well. Looks like his market might be expanding a little bit outside of Philly. So we'll be on to cover those. And
I was going to say one more thing on that trade the Yankees made.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Miguel Yajuri, he ended up pitching last year for the Yankees. So he ended up having 3 games, pitched 7 innings, allowed 3 hits, a run earned on the solo shot, struck out 8 guys, walked 5, and he's only 22.
Okay.
So now he's going to the National League. That's going to be interesting. Kanan Smith, okay, I think it's Kanan.
He's got
Dude, he's got some talent. Yes, it was only single A in Charleston, but he hit .307, 11 bombs, 74 ribbies in 124 games. The last guy was Ronzi Contreras, and Contreras also in single A Charleston, 12-5, struck out 113 in 132 innings. He's 19. So this actually might be a deal where the Yankees might have had to like actually overpay. Like at first I was thinking, wow, how did the Yankees fleece another team? This could potentially be a situation where if Taillon doesn't do as well as he's supposed to, Pittsburgh might have just made out like bandits, like buying in on some stock that's like, I don't know, 0.015 pennies. You know what I'm saying, kids? So who knows? Who knows what could happen? But if this ends up panning out for Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh ends up becoming a powerhouse because of this trade, this is going to remind me of like when the Red Sox indirectly fleeced the Mariners and they got Tech and Lowe for Heathcliff Slocum. Just garbage.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest trades of all time. Hopefully the Mookie trade will still you know, pan out with the guys we got from there. But yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap, and we could be back. I mean, it's Sunday. Maybe we'll be back on Thursday or so to, I don't know, just shoot the shit about baseball. So we'll see. Take care.
Yeah.